Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, December 31st, 2018. In case you thought there was 32 days in December, this is the last day of 2018. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to seize the day? Seize the day, a.k.a. cram too much shit into a 24-hour period so you're fucking stressed out for the next day. That's how I do it. That's how I do it. Oh, by the way, guess what? I finally got that little fucking piece I needed for my headphones, and it works great. And as you see, I sat there and I fucking bitched about it for what? Felt like nine years. I just ordered it on Amazon. It showed up, you know, some fucking 8-year-old put on a welding mask and made it. And then somebody else flew it on a fucking, what do you call those goddamn things that hover over your neighborhood? Drone? You know, I don't know. Anyways, happy new year to you. Happy new year to you. If you're going to get shit faced, call an Uber or a Lyft. I'm actually going to be going out tonight for the first time in a long time. I'm going out with my whole family, my family back east. We're just going to go out to dinner. It's cool being a dad, you know what I mean? Rather than go out and go booze and all that shit, you just fucking call 2 days before. Do you have a reservation at 4 in the afternoon, 4:30? Like, why, yes, we do. It's like any other day here at 4 or 4:30 in the afternoon. However, you know, starting around 7, no, we don't. We're completely booked and everything's going to be jacked up the a-hole. So we're all going to go out and have hopefully a pleasurable meal, enjoyable dinner, and all that type of stuff. And then I go to the Rose Bowl the next day. And then the following day, give me a ticket on an aeroplane. Gonna go fly to fucking Eastern Europe. Gonna go to Cologne, Germany. And then it starts. And I am ready, baby. I put in the time. I did the fucking work. I was down the Comedy Store every night, the last 3 nights, and the Ice House. You know, I fucked up Thursday night. I fucked up twice on my gigs this week, which I never do. I actually was headlining the Ice House, and I forgot, and I put in at the Comedy Store. So I'm pulling into the Comedy Store at like 9 o'clock, and I just happened to look down at my phone, and I see a Joe Rogan phone call, and he was the one who told me to, you know, that they wanted to book me at the Ice House. Then I was like, oh, fuck. And then I saw I had a bunch of messages from the club owner, and I called up. I was like, what time was I supposed to be on stage? He's like, right now, 10 minutes ago. So I drove out there like a maniac. I finally learned how to use the supercharger in my car, you know? So I was in intense mode, whatever the fuck they call it. Like, I drove that car for fucking 2 years never using the supercharger because I didn't know you had to push a button. I just thought when I stepped on the gas, like the old days, it would just engage over there, but it didn't. So I finally learned how to use that thing. And what is going on with these fucking wires? Why can't I get them ever not to be? I just don't understand how this fucking happens every single time, every week. Every week. You know what's weird? You could take a handful of wires and throw them on the ground, and then once you pick one of them up, they all tie together. You know, it's so weird that you can do that with, like, wires, but you can't do it with snakes. If you throw them on the fucking ground and you just picked one of them up, there wouldn't be a bunch of them all tangled up in it. They'd all just fucking slither away. So what I'm saying is we need to start making wires the way the good Lord makes the snakes. Anyway, so then I had to drive all the way back to the Comedy Store. Because I was so fucking late at the Ice House, I hung out, took pictures and signed shit, you know, to make up for that. Did the full hour. Then I went all the way back to the fucking Comedy Store. I got there by like a 11:45 at night. And I got to tell you, I haven't gone up, you know, I never went up really late at the Comedy Store because I never got past there to go through that. And I went back to, you know, I auditioned for Mitzi. And she said, she didn't say anything. She left in the middle of my set. That's how fucking awful she thought I was. And she's probably right, if I'm going to be mature about it. And then I moved back to New York, and I sort of did the late night thing in New York. And I never got to do it at the Comedy Store. And that's probably the latest I've gone on there since I can remember. And it was just a completely different animal. I went on in the main room and then also in the original room. And in the main room, I was on stage and I was thinking about Richard Pryor for some reason. Because I know that there was some older guys there told me how he used to work out his stuff late night there. And then when I went into the OR, I was, you know, I just went up there and I had like this fucking set where I was just totally free, riffing, said all this shit, didn't tape any of it. And just shit that I would, a few things I remembered that are now in my act, but like, and I remembered hearing this story that Jim Carrey came up with Fire Marshal Bill late night in the OR at the Comedy Store and all that shit. So it was really, ended up being really cool. And then I worked two shows Friday there, two shows Saturday. And then last night I was running my hour in the main room. And then I was running over to the Whiskey because Steven Adler was playing. And I also had another spot in the OR, but instead of just doing an hour, I did like an hour and 40 in the main room. And I was going to be late for the Steven Adler show. So I was like, is it cool if I just don't do that spot? Because I didn't know that they advertised me in that room too. I thought they just advertised me in the main room. But they had also advertised me in the OR. Had I known that, I would have gone over there and done it. I just thought I had a spot, and I missed it because I was supposed to go up at 10:15, and by the time I got off stage in the main room, it was like 10:40. I was like, I don't want to fuck it up over there, you know, for the other people. So anyways, long story short, I saw Steven Adler's fucking great show at the Whiskey, and then I'm walking back to the store, and I'm walking in front of the store, and these four people are standing there at like fucking 1:30 in the morning going like, you got to be shitting me. You going to go on now? I go, what are you talking about? I was on in the main room. He's like, no, we were in the OR. We were sitting there for 5 hours. The whole crowd was fucking pissed off. So I don't know. I got to try to figure out how to fucking make that right. But I felt like a fucking asshole. So I took a picture with them. And I don't know. And I was thinking, why the fuck did I do that? Because then I went over to the Adler thing and it started like, you know, 20 minutes later. I would have had time to do it. Then I wouldn't have disappointed those people. And now I feel like a fucking asshole. But having said that, you know, I basically did like 7 sets and missed one. So what are you going to do? But dude, the fucking Adler Appetite show, that thing was fucking great, man. And I was just sitting there the whole show. I was just watching Steven because I started listening, you know, I don't know. I kind of tuned up my drums and I got some different heads and shit and they sound fucking killer. And then my drum teacher came over and he fine tuned it and now it just sounds fucking unbelievable. And I was listening to just that Appetite album again and I'm such a drum nerd. Do you realize that Steven Adler does not hit his rack tom until like the fourth song, like halfway through the fourth song? He crushes that album just with a bass drum, snare, and his floor tom. The only time he really hits the floor tom is the breakdown during Welcome to the Jungle. Out to Get Me is all just kick, snare. No, I'm sorry. What's the next? I always say, I think it's Out to Get Me. It's So Easy is all kick, snare. And what's the next one? No, that's on the other side. I don't fucking know. But anyway, so I was watching him. And then when I watched him last night, the fill that I thought he was doing in one of those fucking songs, he actually didn't do on the rack. He actually went from the snare over to the floor. So I actually think he goes maybe to Mr. Brownstone. No, but even then that's a floor tom. But I remember seeing this whole fucking thing. I'm sure this is boring a lot of you guys. But I remember seeing this whole fucking thing on him that for a while he only had a 3-piece. And it's just amazing how his whole style came out of being a broke musician and just crashing at people's places. He couldn't have a big drum kit if he wanted to. He started off with a double bass kit. I remember reading in his book. And then they got rid of that. He got rid of that somehow. Somebody said, don't play double bass. You just play like a single bass drum or some shit. Almost like a Bonham thing. And then he was down to like just a floor kick and snare and just the amount of music that guy got out of it. But it was awesome. It was just, dude, what a bunch of characters at the Whiskey last night. Jesus Christ. There was this fucking guy there, right? And I just, he looked like he was like in his 50s, but he looked like he had a hard life. So he was probably like in his 40s. And he's just standing there, and all of a sudden the bouncer comes up and he just hits him, like slaps him on the arm. Like, what the fuck? And then the guy kind of gestures like, hey, man, you know, I mean, it's cool, whatever. And the bouncer just grabs him and fucking throws him out of the club. So my buddy I was with went up and said, hey, man, just out of curiosity, what did that guy do? And I guess the guy had taken out his lighter and was fucking lighting the ass of the person in front of him, like some other dude. So when the bouncer hit him, like, what the fuck are you doing? He was making this gesture like, yeah, it's kind of funny, right? And the bouncer just, get the fuck out of here. You fucking lighting people on foot? What are you, giving somebody a hot foot? 50 years of fucking age? And my other buddy was with was laughing his ass off. It was so loud, I mean, I could have just gone to him, but he was sitting there going like, was laughing, going, yeah, I saw the whole fucking thing. Like, he didn't even try to hide it. Just a complete fucking asshole. So anyways, that's what I did. And my apologies to the people that came down to the OR last night. I really feel fucking badly about that, man. I mean, there's a hand. I don't know how many times in my life I've missed a spot. I would think it's under 10 my entire fucking career. The first 9 times, nobody gave a fuck. So my apologies. I hope that somehow I can make that up to you guys. Anyways, plowing ahead here. Speaking of shows, we've added 2 more amazing comics. These guys are kids to me, but they're not. They're fucking, they're like legit. I'm just old as shit. Joe List and Mark Norman have been added to the lineup for the 7th annual Patrice O'Neill Comedy Benefit. I had the privilege of working with both of them. Mark Norman, I worked at the West Side Comedy Club in New York City, and Joe List, when I did Gotham about a month ago, I got to work with both of them, and just fucking like they're like the next guys. Just legit straight up fucking comedians, and will be monster headliners. So come down and see them now while you still can. Also on the show, as I've been mentioning, Michelle Wolf, Chris Redd, Jim Gaffigan, Gary Gulman, Rich Voss, Cypher Sounds, Big J Okerson, and myself. It's going to be a monster, monster, monster show. And thanks to the Joe Rogan Experience, we had 800 tickets to sell, and now we're down to like 150. So people can buy tickets at nycitycenter.org or on my website, which is billburr.com. If you just click on the events or whatever the hell it is, road gigs or some shit like that. If you just click on that shit, you'll see the link right there. All right, so there you go. Speaking of Rogan, you know, I mentioned when I did his podcast how I took a sauna with him afterwards, and he has like a legit sauna, you know, the ones with like the coals and shit that you dump the water on. So I felt so great after that I was kind of jonesing for another one. So I went to this fucking place out here. I'm not going to say the name because I'm kind of going to like not shit on the place. But it's just more like it's a different kind of sauna, where Joe's is the old school one that like, you know, the heat hits you from the outside and you sweat like that. I went to one of those infrared ones, the clear light fucking ones, which I realized there's this whole debate on whether or not those things are healthy or not. And they say, yeah, you know, we checked out the fucking rays on this thing. It's fine. And then you're supposed to ask them, well, how did you measure those rays? Is there any radiation? Because they were like, this thing like heats you from the inside is the way they described it. And I go, really? I feel like I'm getting into a microwave. And I got to tell you, I stayed in there for a fucking hour. And when I came out, I definitely felt better. But afterwards, I didn't feel right. It just didn't feel right. It wasn't that same peaceful feeling that I had coming out of the other one. So I didn't like the infrared ones. Although I heard there's some Hollywood starlets that just swear by them. I guess they use it for weight loss. And I will tell you, I came out of there and my stomach was definitely flatter. But I'm like, isn't that all water weight? You know, you go out and have one sarsaparilla there, your fucking belly comes right back. Isn't that how it works? But anyway, so I'm going to go do this Europe tour. And I'm hoping to hit a couple of those places when I'm over there. This is going to be an unprecedented road trip for me in that I won't be drinking. I don't even know that I'm going to smoke cigars because I had like fucking 90 over the past week, you know, catching up with everybody end of the year. Hey, let's get a fucking cigar. So I won't be smoking cigars. I got vitamins with me, and I'm going to try to be hitting saunas and fucking getting 8 hours sleep. Just because at my fucking age, man, I can't be doing like city to city to city to city, 10 days, two shows almost every fucking night, you know? Oh my God. I was going to say that by the end of the tour, I'm going to have a fucking cane. I saw a guy last night, you know, those people that have fucking canes, and it's just like, dude, you don't need a fucking cane. This guy was like walking with this cane, and he would take like three steps before he put the cane down. You know, it was like watching a point guard dribbling the ball up the court where you're just watching the whole time going like, the guy's fucking traveling. Have you ever said on an NBA game, like you fucking watch these guys, they're bouncing the ball like so fucking high, and you watch them, 1, 2, 3, bounce, 1, 2, 3, bounce, 1, 2, 3, bounce, 1, 2, bounce, 1, 2, 3. It's just like, aren't you supposed to, I mean, isn't it like a step and a half? I don't know how it fucking works. I'm done bitching about sports and the way it is nowadays. I've finally given into the fact that it has changed. And speaking of which, my Patriots beat the New York Jets, who I was impressed with their quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be the guy, but you know, you never know. Might be coaching, might be his line. I have no idea, but he made some good throws, and there was a lot of fucking heavy hits by their defense. You know, they're having another rough year or whatever, but we handled them. We got a playoff spot. We got a bye for the 9th time. 9 years in a row, we got a bye. But that fucking motherfucking stupid-ass fucking Dolphins game. Now we're going to have to go through KC. If we win our game and they win their game, we're going to have to go through Kansas City. We have to try to beat those fucking guys again in their own goddamn building. And I don't know. I just don't see that happening. With the I don't know. It's weird this year. We actually have a really good running game, it seems. But it's hard to gauge because we were playing the Jets and they were all banged up on defense. So I don't really know where the fuck we stand here. But who knows? Kansas City, you know, they also have to win, which is not something that they've done in the postseason for a long fucking time. But that Mahomes guy's on a whole other level. And I don't know that, you know, Paul Verzi made up a great fucking point. Just saying that, you know, I think this is the first time Andy Reid has ever had a quarterback. I know he had Donovan McNabb and all of that shit, but I really think this Mahomes guy, he has that, he seems to have that, you almost have to be like not human at the end of the game where you just don't feel emotion, you know? Verzi basically said, all right, because I like Donovan McNabb. He goes, this is the first time, you know, he's got a guy like Mahomes. He didn't have a guy, you know, he was in Philadelphia and had a guy who puked in the fucking huddle or whatever. Which I don't know, that's probably overblown. Who knows? He probably went out party the night before. I'm sure fucking Ken Stabler puked in a couple of fucking huddles. Anyways, and congratulations to the Cleveland Browns on just a great season. And I was really pulling for you guys yesterday just to see you have a winning season and all that shit. I don't know. We'll see. This is going to be a great postseason. Of course, I'm going to be overseas and miss some of it. And if my Patriots aren't going to win at all, I almost want us to lose in the first round just so I can sit there and fucking enjoy it. I know I'm going to enjoy... the NFC playoffs, just as far as like, you know, the Saints have home field. I still don't think Drew Brees has ever gotten the fucking respect he deserves. He's one of those guys where he's going to have to win two for people to be like, oh yeah. But then again, Eli's won two and they're treating him like a fucking stepchild. I don't know. And the Rams were just killing it the whole season. And then they kind of had that little dip there and now they're kind of back. But they also played the 49ers, so I don't know. I don't know. And then you got Seattle, and they got Pete Carroll, who's a great fucking coach. Anything can happen, and then Chicago has that great D. This is going to be fucking fun. It's going to be fun. I was always kind of wondering, too, like what Brady must feel like being this far into his goddamn career, where he must feel like a fucking townie at the bar, and everybody else has kind of gotten on with their lives. Just looking around the locker room like, where the fuck is everybody that I used to know? They're all fucking gone. And like, there's no quarterback left in the league that was playing when he started out. I mean, I almost think like, I mean, he makes fucking Eli and Drew Brees look like youngsters. Kind of the way the Rolling Stones kept Aerosmith young for so long, where they were able to kind of breeze through their 40s, 50s, and into their 60s because the Stones were always 10 years older than them. So everyone was always making the old jokes with them. So, I don't know. And for all you fucking Europe cunts over there, I did watch Liverpool-Arsenal. I watched until it was 3-1, and then Daddy Duty took over. But Arsenal goes up 1-0, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, that fucking guy does his little dance. He slides on his knees, and I'm like, oh, here we go. Arsenal, Arsenal's actually a team that I've fucking heard of. They must be one of the good fucking teams. And then the Liverpool guys, they just went right down the fucking field. Like fucking 3 minutes later, bam. 90 seconds later, bam, which you never see in fucking soccer, football, whatever the hell you call it. It's the same guy who I guess hadn't scored at all in the Premier League. Just weak-ass fucking defense. The one where Mo Salah kind of fucking weaved his way through and then made that sick pass for the third goal or something. When they showed the defense in slow motion, it literally looked like they were extras in a movie. And Mo was like the star that they had to make look good. So they were doing these half-hearted sort of, I don't know what, trying to get their foot in the way. It's like, don't they usually just fucking stick a cleat right in the back of your fucking Achilles? I don't know. I don't know shit about these goddamn sport. But I have been watching or whatever. All right, let me read a little bit of advertising here. What do we got here? Simply Safe, everybody. Don't you want to be Simply Safe in 2019? Isn't that where you want to be? Simply Safe. We all put off doing things we know we need to do. I mean, we know we need to organize the garage or please personalize your own ideas. Are they literally trying to write this in my fucking, the way I speak? This is all written like this. We all put off things we know we need to do. I mean, we know we need to organize the garage, but something always gets in the way. Funny how home security can be like that. You know, it's, well, what do I need to organize? I don't know. I cleaned up my fucking drum room. Changed the head on all my drums. So you know what? I actually moved all the drums out of there, and I brought a little vacuum cleaner in there, and all the fucking shavings and shit and broken drumsticks and all that from the drumsticks, vacuumed all of that shit up. And yeah, I don't know what this has to do with safes, but that was definitely a personal story. Funny how some security can be like that. You know, it's a good idea, but there's always something holding you back. Well, now it's time to act because Simply Safe Home Security extended holiday sale ends soon. Simply Safe believes nothing should come between you and protecting your home, so they've gotten rid of the reasons not to get home security. There's no contract ever, no price markups from any middleman, and no installation windows. Who has time for that? Who has time for that? You're not going to do it. You could hire somebody to do it, I guess. Most importantly, their system is engineered to do one thing brilliantly: protect. So if a storm takes out your power, Simply Safe is ready. If an intruder cuts your phone line, Simply Safe is ready. If they destroy your keypad or siren, Simply Safe will get you the help you need. Maybe it's overkill. Maybe it's the last thing you want to think about this holiday. But with Simply Safe, you're always ready for anything. Just go to simplysafe.com/burr and order before January 8th to save with their extended holiday sale. That's simplysafe.com/burr. Hey! SimplySafe.com/burr. All right, simply spelled SimpliSafe. Has the I instead of the Y. You know, like the way a hot chick spells her name. You know what I mean? They always have like the I instead of a Y. You ever notice that? Like if a chick has the Y in their name, then they're just fucking regular looking like you, and you're not intimidated to approach them and fucking hit on them or whatever. If you're still allowed to do that. You know? Are you still allowed to do that? You know, after one of my shows, this woman came up to me. She's like, oh, I just want to give you a hug. And I just put my hand straight up in the air. And the whole time was like, ah, me too,
Oh my God.
During the whole thing. That's how I'm handling every fucking situation like that. I'm literally putting my hands up like a cop has a gun on me. The fuck away from me. Until they bring back due process and burden of proof, that's, I'm telling you, as a man, that is the fucking way to go. Just stick your hands up in the air until these fucking lunatics calm the fuck down and they realize that our judicial system is the best that the world has to offer. And to not do away with the best fucking thing about it is the fact that you actually get a fucking, you know, the chance to defend yourself. You know, even the guilty get a chance to defend themselves so that the innocent won't go to jail. There you go. Stamps.com, everybody. Stamps.com brings all the amazing services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer. Stamps.com not only saves you time, it saves you money, too. With Stamps.com, you get discounted postage rates that can get even what that you can get even what that you can't even get at the post office. Fuck. Not to mention, it's a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters, and there's no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. I use Stamps.com to send out all my posters for this tour. I'm a fucking moron. If I can figure it out, so can you. Although I'm not bringing any of these posters to Europe, by the way, because I'm just going from city to city to city to city. I don't know how to fucking do it over there. I also don't know how to convert the fucking American money to euros, to francs, to fucking the blooms, whatever the fuck you guys are using over there. So I'm just gonna dance and do my stupid fucking show. All right, Stamps.com not only saves you time, it saves you money too. With Stamps.com, you get discounted postage rates that you can't even get at the post office. Not to mention, it's a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters, and there's no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. I use Stamps. Oh, I already read this shit. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a four-week trial, plus postage, and a digital scale. So start the new year off right. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Burr. That's Stamps.com, enter Burr. Oh, and lastly, but not leastly, my bookie. Hey, how the fuck you doing? Put a little money in the game, you fucking so-and-so. All right, bowl season is here, and it's time to get in on the action with mybookie.com. Don't be that guy. Don't be that fucking guy over there with no rooting interest as your relatives or friends sit around watching the game. Not this year. When there are a record 41 bowl games to bet on, including the national championship on January 7th, It really is the most wonderful time of the year. Make sure you're already ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win. Ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest props. When you bet is just as important with who you're betting on. And if you want to make money during the bowl season, you got to go to MyBookie. Evidently, I trust them, according to the fucking copy here, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out yourself. Join now at MyBookie. Join now and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for the season. Use promo code Burr, I'm assuming, when you deposit to activate the offer. It just says XXX. That's promo code Burr at MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. Now get the fuck out of here. All right. That's the reads for this week. Oh, you know what I did yesterday? I had a buddy of mine. He's a member at a country club. Now, this is some shit that I would never do. I would never think to do. I would never think to join a country club. I don't golf. Although I watched this thing on Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods last night was some sort of fucking 30 for 30, basically on his return to finally winning. You know, his body was all broken down and all that shit, and he came back and he won, and how the ratings went like through the roof and all of that. It was just fucking awesome that he was back. And, you know, and people love to watch greatness. If you don't love to watch greatness, that reflects more on you rather than the person that you're fucking watching, because you're just fucking pissed off about your own life. Why wouldn't you want to see somebody go out and be the greatest of all time? And anyways, so I went over there to smoke a cigar, and I went over there. It was a fucking utopia. Like, I would literally join a country club and never play golf. I went over there. They had all the NFL games on. They had all this food. They were pouring booze the way I pour booze at home. I call it like a home pour. They were pouring them like that. Fortunately, I wasn't drinking because I drove over there, and that would have been a situation. I would have to left my fucking car there. But everybody just hanging out, breaking fucking balls. It was great. And I got to be honest with you. It was nice as a guy to know that that still existed. It was just fun, you know? That's like one of those things that like feminists go after. And it's just like, we're not doing anything wrong. And then I hung out over there for like 3 hours, hanging out with all the guys, everybody breaking balls, telling stories, watching the game, trying to fucking coach what was on the TV, smoking cigars, classic guy shit. And then I was done. And then I came home to my wife and I was psyched. And then I was around this female energy. It was perfect. It was like, dare I say, balanced. And, you know, there's just this whole fucking weird thing going on right now that if everybody is not included, meaning both sexes, that for some reason that means that there's something wrong about it. You know, I don't know. I don't fucking get it. Like, you know, a bunch of women going out to brunch is great for them. They get to be around that. They totally vibe with that fucking energy. Then after a while, I imagine, hey, you know, go home to my fucking dumb guy I'm with. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. You know? And I understand to a certain level where there was just like, you know, entities in business and schmoozing and all that that weren't letting, you know, forget about women, but other races of people and all that, you know, I'm, you know, obviously not down with that. I think everybody ought to be able to go wherever the fuck they want to go as long as you're not a fucking jerk off. But I don't, but I draw the line at that thing where it's just everything has to have men and women mixed together. I think that a lot of shit should, but there should just be some shit that's just for women or just for men. And even then, just for men, you know, when you color your hair. I even, when I worded that, I made sure that I said just for women first before these fucking lunatics with, I don't know what the, I've been doing this bit right now talking about how these private schools work now where you have to like audition your kids over there and they're trying to like get this perfect balance racially and gender and all of that. And it's just like, it's like their heart is in the right place, but it just feels like this giant fucking like experiment, like some weird like Nazi shit. Like, what are you doing? What the fuck are we? They're kids. Just let them be kids. And this is all going to work out itself. They're trying to curate the painless childhood. I think that's what they're going for. They're going to try to like have kids have, you know, a childhood without any pain. Which I guess then the theory is that then they would go out into the world and they wouldn't inflict any pain on anybody. But it's just like eventually, you know, you're going to go out in the real world and there's going to be pain. There's going to be disappointment. There's going to be people stealing your shit. And you're going to have to know how to deal with that. And that's kind of like what school is. You learn how to stand up to bullies and all that. I'm not saying that kids should go to school and have miserable fucking experiences. But like there is like a certain element of it that you got to let them fucking handle it themselves. Right? The only way that you could possibly, I don't know how it would work. You would have to get rid of all the sociopaths and all the selfish fucking people in the world first. You would literally have to, and you'd have to kill them. This whole fucking thing that you're going to stick them on a fucking island, you know, all they're going to do is just fuck each other and make like fucking roided up sociopath, selfish people. And then eventually one of them's going to know how to make a boat and then that's going to be it. Then they're going to come over and we're all going to be over here like, you know, put your right hand in, take your right hand out, fucking singing the hokey pokey and we're going to get steamrolled. You like how I put myself not on the island? You like how in that story I was the fucking hero and I wasn't a selfish cunt like I wouldn't be over there? I don't know. It is weird, but I already know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my daughter enrolled in some sort of like, you know, anti-bully jujitsu fucking shit, just so my daughter knows how to handle herself. And then that's it. And then just make sure you don't abuse the skill set that you now have. And if anybody comes at you, you know, you fucking handle it. It gives you confidence. And then you don't have to spend your whole fucking childhood in this depressive fog of dreading going to school and shit. You know, when I think back of some of the periods I went through and some of the shit some other kids that I picked on went through, I fucking was like, oh man, that's, I'm surprised too that like teachers didn't intervene a little bit more. Not to the point that they're doing it now, to the point that they're doing it now where they're just fucking like, it's almost like reversed Hitler. Where everyone is included, but they're also deciding like who is the number one draft pick. They're still, you know, boxing out other people. It's weird. It's just a really fucking weird, I don't know. It's just such a weird goddamn time. All right. That's it with my little fucking pontificating there. Let's do a little bit of the, some of the reads here for the week. All right. What do we got here? Who's first? All right, good times, bad times, how I learned. Hey, Billy Bass Drum Balls, I learned good times, bad times when I was 12 or 13. You motherfucker! Thanks to my drum teacher. No, that's awesome, man. He taught me heel down technique and showed me that the trick to getting those fast flutter kicks was to move your foot halfway down the pedal. Your heel should be completely off the pedal. Oh, yeah, I've seen that. You just slide up and down. This counteracts the spring tension and helps you play faster at the expense of power. Oh, at the expense of power. All right. Eventually, by doing this enough, you will be able to play those flutters without this trick. It's like training wheels. If you play heel up, you should be able to make the swivel technique work. It's a valuable trick I have to have up your sleeve, and you don't lose any punch. I've included a link on how to do it if you aren't too sure. I also recommend playing Cashmere as a warm-up before jumping into good times, bad times. He does some slower flutter kicks that will loosen you up. I hope I could help you out. Happy New Year, and go fuck yourself. What I learned, finally, because I was doing it the wrong way, the first way I did it before I took any drum lessons, when I would do it, I would do this weird thing where I would curl my toe down, push, and then almost like I was almost doing that slide move with like my toes, and I got plantar fasciitis in my foot. My technique was so bad. Then my drum teacher was teaching me his technique, and I didn't understand it, and then I didn't go in for a while, and I learned it. I was almost doing like a reverse slide. Like I was bringing my foot back, and that was the slide, and then pushing forward down. So the first one was like light, was almost like an unaccented beat. So it was like da-duh, da-duh, da-duh. And then another time I was doing it, the first one was louder. It was like da-duh, 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 and it never sounded even. So the way he just taught me, which has been a total game changer in like the last fucking 3 days I've been messing with this shit, is, all right, I play a DW drum pedal, all right? So when you're just playing a single, the ball of your, first of all, you sit back and you should be able to see your ankles a little bit. I was sitting too close, so my knee was directly above my foot, and that was fucking with, you know, my technique, and passed up to a certain tempo, it was getting in the way. So he had me move back, which felt really fucking weird at first, and now it feels great. So basically, if you were playing a single, your foot, you just, you know, lift your leg up and boom, come right down in the DW. But when you're playing, hang on a sec. Ah, fuck. Hang on, she's coming in here. Hang on. All right, the lovely Nia is here. I've got to finish explaining something here.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm great.
You know, your shirt oddly matches the windscreen there.
It does.
Yeah. So anyways, the windscreen that I use when I'm inside. So anyways, so if you're playing a single, you just lift your foot
all
up.
All that hot air you're blowing.
That's right. you bring it right down in the DW. But then if you're going to play a double, all you do is you slide your foot back where you're right below the nine. I play the 9,000. So if you play the 5,000, right below the five. And then you just bring your foot down like you're playing a single. So that first one is strong, okay, like a single. And then as you know, and you let the beater come off the head and you catch the rebound as you slide it up. And then they're both strong and both even and sound powerful. And it was just a completely different thing. And what I ended up doing at a slow tempo was just play like in my time of dying, not playing 16th on the hi-hat. I was just playing dun, like boom, boom, da-dat, ba-boom, ba-boom, da-dat, ga-goon, da-da-dat, ba-boom, ba-boom, boom, boom, ba-dat, boom. Something like that, whatever. So it makes sense to drummers.
Okay.
Sorry. It makes sense to drummers. So what's is key in that, it was whatever you can play, or play like the Immigrant Song, is if you're playing singles and doubles, you get that muscle memory that if you're playing a single, you just keep your foot up at the top of the pedal. And then when you play the double, you're bringing it back. And what happens is your muscle memory is as you're playing whatever the fuck you're playing right before that first note of the double, your foot's already moving back into position. It'd be the same thing if you're playing a double pedal, where after, like, when you first go from a single to a double pedal, that the fucking brain power that you have to use to move your left foot from the hi-hat over to the slave pedal, if you play like a double pedal, is like fucking ridiculous. But then after a while, your foot just knows to just sort of just slide, just to come over that, you know, literally 4 inches. But when you first start off, it's kind of the same thing as like that. All right, I'm done. Sorry, Nia. You literally just fucking glazed over like probably 80% of the people
boom,
listening to Punk.
Cat, boom, boom, cat, cat, boom.
Yes.
Cat, boom, boom, cat.
Now those were all singles.
Boom, cat. Boom cha, boom cha.
Whatever, it's soundproof. It's something that I do. It's something you should hear how good they sound.
Oh, I've heard it.
You can't hear it. Can you hear it?
No, I can't hear it from the house. No.
Yeah, perfect. Mm-hmm. That's fucking perfect. So, how are you? How was your Christmas?
It was lovely. How was your Christmas?
It was wonderful. How was your New Year?
We had a nice Christmas.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Old Cutie Pie still doesn't get the whole concept. She was more into like opening the presents.
Yeah, she liked the opening and the ripping of the wrapping paper. But after that, she was like done. Come on, let's open some more presents. And she was like, no present. So that was that.
I also love, what does she call the Christmas tree?
Mama tree.
Mama tree. You're like, Christmas tree. She's like, Mama tree.
Mama tree. So cute.
She's so manipulative already.
I know. She knows how to get you. You know, because she knows how desperate we are for her affection and her hugs and kisses. So she just uses that.
They know that already, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like, you know, she'll ask for something that she knows she's not supposed to have. And I'm like, no, you can't have that, this and that. And she'll wear me down. I'll be like, all right, you
please,
can have a little
bit.
She'll go, please, mama, please, mama. Or she sees that I'm about to do it and I've given in. And she rushes over and gives me a kiss and a hug. So it's like, she just knows. She knows what to do. So what's happening over here on the old podcast there, Tracksuit?
I'm loving this tracksuit.
Tracksuit. I got Bill a couple of tracksuits for Christmas because it's just like what he likes to live in / travel in. So you really do.
I never
like
do. It's what Verzi's been telling me to do forever, and I never have.
You always had like track pants on and stuff at the airport and like a zip up.
No, because you know what happens
what
is because I forget my wallet or phone because most of them don't have back pockets.
Uh-huh.
That was that time I went to the airport and I missed my flight because I had my phone in my front pocket and I wasn't even thinking I didn't have my wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have my license. And then I had to fly fucking private. That cost me $1 zillion.
Oh, that's right. Because
it was an afternoon gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I get super paranoid. And then I don't like sweatpants when I fly. Because shit just slides out of your pockets and then your wallet goes underneath the seat and somebody has to find the fucking thing. So, but other than that, they're great to fly in. So I just, you know, something I put it in the hopefully. Yeah. See, these don't have zip up pockets. So this is a very vulnerable. This is like the thing that the gypsies over there. Are you not supposed to say gypsies, by the way?
I don't know.
Let's look up. Let's see if that's now offensive.
I don't think so. I think you're not supposed to say, I got gypped anymore, because I think that's offensive.
To who? Gypsies?
Gypsies? But I feel like you're not supposed to call them... I don't know. Isn't there a TV show called, like, Gypsy Nation or something. I don't know. I think gypsies is fine, but maybe them with like pickpocketing and being scammers.
Oh, you mean like what happened to us when we were over there?
Is rude. and you're not supposed to say that.
You're not supposed to say what the fuck is happening.
No.
All right, hang on. All right, well then fine. I don't need to get involved in this because I'm going to fucking Eastern Europe.
Right, exactly. Should probably lay off the old...
Okay, the harmful history of gypsy. Mm-hmm. This is on Bitch Media, so I don't think that this is going to be... What is with all these fucking people asking for money? All right. As a Romanian woman...
Right.
More often called by the racial slur gypsy. I didn't know that was that's a racial slur.
Yeah, I feel like I learned that a couple years ago,
I watched
Romanian
the new network's original series Gypsy with some trepidation. The show is a psychological thriller for the most part without many thrills.
That Naomi Watts show that I watched two episodes of and then forgot.
The show takes its inspiration from Stevie Nicks' song Gypsy, about a free-spirited woman who loves and disappears. So to me, that's what a gypsy was. A gypsy was just a nomadic person. Like, I didn't know any of this shit about pickpocketing and all that shit. The mythos, is that how you say it? Of the gypsy is a stew of stereotype. The thief, the fortune teller, the free spirit, the seductress, and the liar. And Gene hits all of them, rebranding them as characteristics of a wealthy white woman just trying to find herself.
That's kind of true. Wait, what's that song? Woo, gypsy woman. What's that? What's that song? It's from the 70s,
no,
right?
It's Witchy Woman.
Oh.
You're so racist against gypsy.
No,
you're throwing that word in.
Oh my God, I'm not. No, I try to be sensitive to stuff like that. So what is it now? It's Witchy Woman?
Yeah.
Ooh, witchy.
Witchy woman.
It's not Gypsy Woman?
See how high she fly.
Okay. Well, you obviously know the lyrics more than I do. Well, I think just for, you know, just don't call anybody a gypsy.
All right. Outside of a Stevie Nicks song, the Romanian people are an oppressed ethnic minority whose disparate roots date back to the 10th century India and are currently in the midst of century-long human rights crisis. See, now that's interesting to me because they have their own country.
Who's oppressing them?
Romania, right? Don't they? Isn't that their own country?
Yes.
I feel like everything that I'm saying is fucking offending somebody here.
Probably. Who is oppressing them?
I don't know. I mean, I know Russia controlled a lot of that part.
I was going to say,
can we blame them?
Is it the Russians?
Can we blame them?
I feel like you can blame the Russians and it's okay.
I don't know.
Probably not.
Long human rights crisis. One that is in part perpetuated by the stereotypes of the gypsies. Yet almost no one but the Roma themselves are pushing back on the series title slur. The writing to the network and producers are creating petition to change the show's title. Along with simple ignorance, anti-Romanian sentiment is so normalized that in 2017, a premier streaming service can release a show that takes an actual racial slur in its title and no one bats an eyelash. Well, in defense of Netflix over here, Gypsy's sort of a cool, hey man, like, I'm not stuck in the Matrix kind of thing. Like, over here, it doesn't mean that. Like, I never thought, like... Gypsy, yeah, was definitely fortune teller. It was also,
yeah,
and then
that's what I think. I don't think of like just a free spirited hippie. I wouldn't, like growing up, you hear like a gypsy person. That's someone who is, you know, doing like scams and stuff. So
you heard that?
I mean, that's what I associated it with. And then when we go to Europe and people were like, be careful of the gypsies, they'll rob you. Like, you know what I mean?
And then so, I didn't know that gypsies were an actual ethnicity.
Right.
I just thought it was like a hippie. Anybody can be a fucking hippie, man. You get a tambourine and grow your fucking hair and smoke a little grass. And all of
well,
a sudden,
that's a hippie.
All of a sudden you're in the drum culture, right?
That's not a gypsy.
You're in a
that's
drum circle.
Hippie.
Yeah, hippie. But I'm no. But I'm saying I thought gypsy was like that. Well, I could become a hippie if I got some hair transplants and started smoking some weed, man, and just did, you know, wearing Birkenstocks, I could be considered a hippie. I didn't know that it was an ethnicity.
Right.
So we're learning something here.
Wait, would you ever get one of those scalp... I wouldn't let you do it. One of those scalp... What do they call it? Scalp transplants? Like the tattoo scalp.
Oh, yeah, no, that's different than a scalp transplant off a murderer, and then I have even more of a temper. Scalp transplant.
Not scalp transplant. Yeah, I forget what it's called. Anyway, someone that I follow on Instagram does it for people. Like, it's a new thing that he started to do, and he calls it, like, the scalp shop or something. And so I was watching a video of the process.
No, it's not a new thing. Oh. That's been around for a while.
Oh, it has.
I know, yeah.
It's a tattoo?
Yeah, I knew a guy that did it.
Is it? It's permanent, then?
No, it actually fades, and you're supposed to keep your head out of the light. But what it looks like, it ends up looking like I have a full head of hair, but I just tried to shave. I decided to shave it down.
You just have like a 5 o'clock shadow on your head.
Yeah, but then what's weird to me is like, now I got to shave my head every fucking day.
Right.
Because then it's going to be weird, because then the stubble, the real hair is going to be coming up, and then the rest of the shit. I think you can go like a day or two before it starts looking stupid.
Yeah, I don't know.
I am not a big believer in fucking with nature.
Okay. So if nature is if making nature, your head fall, fall out, this, then let it
you
go.
You play the hand that you are dealt, and you play it to the best.
Right.
So I keep myself in shape. I grew the beard. I just shaved it off, and, you know, this is who I am.
You were talking about shaving your beard off the other day, and I was just like, why would you ever do that?
Because I miss my faith.
Oh, Jesus.
Nia, you may be familiar with the word gyp, which means to cheat someone,
right?
As a gypsy would.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slur as obviously offensive as Jew down, and yet people still say it. Say what?
Jew down?
You never heard that? You grew up in Massachusetts for a while?
I mean, I lived there till I was like six.
Oh.
I grew up in Atlanta, which you would think.
Yeah.
Well, no,
you down
I've
there, they're Jewish
that.
People. They got tails. Like, they went to a whole other level down there. And yet people still say it in everyday combination. Imagine replacing gypsy as the show title with another ethnic slur. The show would never have been made, and yet gypsy was made, riding on the back of the romantic popularization of the world of fashion, beauty, and social media. Yeah, that's how I view it.
Mm.
All right, so I didn't know. So I guess I will stop saying gypsy.
Yeah. And stop saying people
I will
getting
say,
gypped out of things.
I will say Romanian.
Wait, speaking of tails, because you mentioned tails earlier, did you see that video on Twitter?
Ooh,
Romanian woman.
No.
Did you see that video on Twitter of the raccoon? This is in Florida. Raccoon, you know, like one of my least favorite animals. Like attacking a lizard, like one of those big fucking lizards, and like chasing it through a parking lot. Oh my God, I'm getting the heebie-jeebies just thinking about it. Chasing it through a parking lot and just like sinking its like teeth into its neck and just holding it down and then like dragging it out of frame. And then the person pans over to what looks like a snake flapping around, and you're just like, what the fuck is going on? Then you realize it's the tail. It's the lizard's tail that has somehow gotten like away from the lizard's body, and it's still flapping around on its own. It's the most fucked up video ever. It's the worst nature video
I gotta
I've
watch
ever
it.
Seen.
I fucking hate.
So
I hate
awful.
Reptiles.
It's so awful.
I don't hate reptiles. Ooh, reptile woman.
Reptile.
Can you imagine calling a show reptiles? Yes.
Did I come in here to answer a question or?
No. I want to see.
Hanging out.
Raccoon versus lizard.
Yeah, Florida, because you know all that shit always happens in Florida.
Oh, yeah. Florida is fucking crazy. Raccoon kills iguana.
Iguana.
Oh, man, I like iguanas. Iggy. Well,
you're about to get your heart broken.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
it's
I like
brutal.
Iguanas.
It's so brutal.
Dude, what the fuck does Gordon Ramsay have to do with a goddamn lizard eat? Oh, I see. He's fixing these people's restaurant. That's hilarious. Dude, my favorite part about him going to those restaurants is when Gordon Ramsay starts gagging.
Right.
It's always something in the fucking
so over
freezer.
The top.
No, it smells that
when
bad.
When they have meat from like you know, 2002 in there.
Yeah. Oh my God. One time, I thought he was just acting, and then the cameraman almost puked. I was like, oh wow, that's real.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Oh no.
Oh, look at his tail. Oh no, he's going.
Oh.
Should I stop the fight?
No.
Yeah, he's dead. Yo! Let him go, dog! I know, he's a tail.
Where the fuck did that goddamn.
Holy f***, dude.
Westerns are an invasive species anyways.
Holy f***.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, let me ask you this, Chris. Who the f***? Nobody has an iguana. That's a pet. Somebody just let that thing go.
Mm-hmm.
What you just saw was how long I would last in prison.
You know, I was reading, like, that guy was saying...
That fucking lizard did not have a goddamn chance.
Yeah.
It's not natural to fucking Florida. Somebody got sick of feeding it grasshoppers, and it just let it go, and then it got eaten by a fuck... You imagine that lizard being like, what in the fuck is this thing?
You would survive in prison based on your wits...
Good looks.
And your... Yeah, well... No, because you, like, have so much anger inside of you that you would be able to channel it, and you'd be able to, like, the funny, like, killer guy. He'll make you laugh, but oh, he'll make you cry.
No.
Sorry.
Anything I've learned from anybody in prison is just like, I've some of the toughest fucking guys I've ever met. They were like, do not go in there acting like you're the toughest fucking guy because you're not.
Who has conversations like that? Like, why do you even think about like how you would do in prison? Like, are you, is there something that you need to tell me?
No, it's just, you just watch those things. I mean, it's a fucking option.
Yeah.
Can happen.
I never think about that. I never think about how would I do in prison. Probably
well, I don't live in your privileged world.
Oh, here we go. Wait, but I wanted to say something about the...
Well, try to say
less. Oh, wait. So that guy on the video was saying, should I break up the fight? Should I stop it? And I said, no. I don't understand why people feel like they need to get like involved in nature. I was reading this article. I saw
because we
Instagram.
Already were involved.
What do you mean?
Because whoever fucking bought that... lizard to Florida was a white person on some level is what I'm guessing.
Well, I'm just saying like sometimes you just have to let, I left this comment on the New York Magazine Instagram page because they had a whole article about how seals are snorting eels. Sea lions are snorting eels as like this, they're young and they snort them. It's like for fun or something like that. And someone left a comment like, oh, I hope whoever took that picture, like put the camera down and like intervened and like helped that poor sea lion. And I was like, sometimes you just got to let nature.
Wait.
What?
They're snorting eels?
They're snorting eels.
Wait.
You have to Google it. Sea lions are snorting eels.
Like doing like a line of coke.
Yes. And there's a picture of a snail with like a sea lion with a very satisfied look on its face with an eel up its nose. That's just what they're doing now. I don't know why. But someone was like, oh, somebody should intervene and pull it out. And it's like, just let nature do what it's going to do.
That's them planking or like throwing the water bottle and having it land. That's like their little Instagram.
Yeah, that's exactly what scientists were saying. They're like, it's a new thing that they just apparently are just doing for fun because they can do. So it's like, just let them snort. Like, you don't have to get involved to like seal. Like, what? What is, I don't know. I don't understand that impulse to intervene when nature is naturing.
Because white people are control freaks.
It's one thing if you see a coyote attacking your cat or dog, of course. But I mean, if it's a sea lion and an eel or an iguana and a fucking
raccoon,
leave it alone.
You're saying that a dog and a cat is more of an animal worth saving than a lizard or an eel.
One of them is
that
my
is
pet.
Animal racism,
animal phobic, speciesism.
You're wildophobic. You don't like wild animals.
No, I'm saying if they're in the wild and they're doing their thing, just let them do what they're going to do. Why do you need to get involved? And like, how do you decide whose side to be on? Just because the iguana's losing, all of a sudden you're anti the raccoon? Like, you know.
You go lighter skin. You pick the lighter skin animal. Okay, on repairing electronics. All right, so I'm not saying gypsy anymore. My apologies to Romanian people. Yeah.
None of that.
Screwed. But then that's offensive to prostitutes.
I thought you were going to say, like, toolboxes or something.
No. Carpenters. All right. On. He screwed me. Hey, I've been a carpenter, and I never screwed anybody. On repairing electronics. Hello, Bill. You mentioned in a previous podcast that you like getting your electronics repaired and even knew a guy that did that. It's amazing. With a quick YouTube video, people can repair their own products. Well, guess what? Apple, like always, is that one company that likes to shit all over that. They seize shipments with quality third parties, party parts from these repair shops because they want you to pay the $800 plus you would otherwise be saving. Wow. Trusted repair shops get third party parts illegally, but Apple likes to have customers hold them from these guys and make them pay obnoxious fees to receive the packages. When you have the time, take a look at this short video.
You know what? We should ask the people that we go to for our electronics repairs, like our computers and stuff. We should ask them about that.
You know what? We found a repairman who just fixed our stove, and it's fucking amazing.
What did you say? He made that stove his bitch.
He did. He took the whole thing apart. So now we have a 10-year-old Viking stove that is now 2018. It's basically a resto mod if you're into cars, which is if you got a 1965 whatever, and on top it looks like 1965.
Oh wait, so it doesn't do that anymore?
No, it doesn't. I wish you wouldn't either. I don't have time to watch this, but I'm definitely going to watch this. It's called, the name of this video is Apple Under Fire for Allegation of Controversial Business Practices.
Did you get this for the baby? Oh, wait.
Huh?
Is this yours?
Oh, yeah. I was going to give that to Bert Kreischer. I forgot. That is a Florida State half shirt that I bought in 1981 or 82.
I'm looking at
it. Never wore it.
A crop top.
I never wore it.
A vintage Florida State crop top.
Yeah, half shirt.
Crop top.
No, they were called half shirts back then.
You're going to give it to Bert Kreischer?
Yeah.
Wow. Can he fit like an arm in here?
No, I didn't realize it's a small. You know what, Nia? I'd like to see you wear that.
God, no. I am so not in the crop top shape.
Oh, you know what? Jesus
Christ. I'm not in crop top shape. It is what it is.
I think you are. Also, you mentioned your DVD or Blu-ray player didn't have HDMI for your new TV. You can buy an RCA to HDMI converter for a couple of bucks to plug in an old video equipment, or RGB to HDMI, depending on what you have. RCA is the cable with red, white, and yellow. RGB is the cable with red, green, and blue.
Oh, so this is a real fucking nerdy ass podcast today, huh?
No, this is asshole.
Woo,
bitchy woman. Hey, watch it. All right, we got time to read two more here. Home sauna. Merry Christmas, Billy Big Balls. Merry Christmas to you and yours, and I hope you're having a lovely, restful, festive break. I just wanted to weigh in on your home sauna comments. I couldn't recommend getting one more. I live in wet Wales and built a sauna 3 years ago. It's the perfect way to level your body and mind. 3 times a week is perfect, but I generally do 2. The best way I found is 15 minutes in the sauna, 2, a cold shower, cold outdoor shower, 3, repeat steps 1 and 2, 3 times in all. The level of chill I have afterwards can only otherwise be obtained by illegal means. It's awesome. I'm telling you, Nia, this is going to help us if I get something like this. Looking forward to seeing you in Manchester. I fucking love Manchester.
Okay.
Yeah, I went there. I was like, these guys are like the same kind of fucking lunatics I remember in Boston. Mm. Same thing. Ball breaking, drinking, fucking. I love it. And I'm thinking Liverpool's going to be the same way, and all up through there. I'm not doing Newcastle, I don't think, but I just feel like all up there is that type of shit. Where London is more like Manhattan, where it's all refined. Thanks for brightening up my work week, and look after yourself. I would love to figure out a way to do this. I just don't have the room here.
What's wrong with the steam, though? How is that different from...
Well, a sauna, you can go way hotter.
Oh.
Because with steam, it's so wet. Like, I mean, steam, you can actually sit in a sauna at like close to 200 degrees. Mm-hmm. And if you were in a sauna where it was just all not a sauna, a fucking steam.
Yeah,
you'd literally be getting to the point where the water on you was getting close to starting to boil. Like you could burn yourself.
Oh, okay.
I never understood this. This is also me speaking, just trying to remember repeating what people were talking about saunas. But I am sold on them. To the point, there's one I know that, you know, maybe we could go take a sauna today if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. And they have like the Finnish one.
Mm-hmm.
Not like finish, I'm done, like Finland. And they're known for that shit.
Yeah, okay.
Although recently they just had a competition. Somebody fucking
really
died over there.
I'm not big on like sitting in like big hot boxes.
You can't say I didn't try.
No, I would try, but I don't know. It's never been my thing to just like sit in like, well, I'm very hot. You know? It's not really my thing to just sit in the old hot box. I like to hot box, but I don't like to sit in the hot box.
All right, I got
to
wrap this up because I got a phone call in a minute. All right, threesome with my ex-girlfriend. Dear Billy Baron Skull Burr, No. I've recently been going through some of your catalog podcasts and highlights and become a huge fan. I always have your podcast playing at any opportunity I get. But without further ado, here's my dilemma. He's 16 in high school and recently been started dating this girl at school. We've been going steady and pardon my graphicness, been doing it like rabbits. Now, these are like underage people. Am I allowed to read this?
I feel like this is the point where you stop.
Stop. Reading. This is where I stop, right? Okay. All right. I'm going to stop with underage threesome.
Whoop, whoop.
Is that the cops? I'm not cool.
Yeah.
No, hey, Nia.
Let's not go there.
Why don't you hype your Instagram page?
Hey, everybody. Follow me on IG. Sorry. The way you're looking at me just made me laugh. Everybody knows my Instagram. It's Nia's alter ego, everybody.
They
How
don't,
cocky is that?
Nia's alter ego.
Nia's alter ego. It's the same on Twitter as it is on Instagram. Yeah.
There you go.
Follow me.
There you go. As you build your brand.
As I build my brand, can we come to England when you do that?
When we go to what? Build your brand in England?
No. What? Can we, me and the baby, come to your England run?
Yeah. Sure. You kind of put me on the spot here.
Yeah, I know.
Asking me on the mic. Okay. Evidently, this trip is going to cost...
Well, I figure you do your shows and then you can stay a little bit longer and, you know, I don't know. You know I love London.
Yes. I love London. Don't make me laugh.
Don't make me laugh.
Every cunt with a long face. No, I was...
Gloomy. That's our favorite movie of all time. Oh, yeah.
I'm sweating here.
Roasting.
Baking. Boiling.
Boo boo doo boo doo boo doo boo doo boo doo boo.
It's like a sauna.
It's like a sauna.
Yeah. We just came full circle.
That's me and BB's favorite movie.
I'm having a calamari. What you having?
What you having?
What you having? And we ran into them that time when we were
Yes,
Smith.
Roundtree. Yes, Roundtree. Yes.
You will. You will. You will.
No. No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no. Make
off.
Me look like a right cut.
Fuck off. You're doing it.
I hope this plane crashes. That's my favorite line.
Dirty DD. That movie's so quotable.
I love when he talks about how he got molested. He touched me.
Oh, on the plane. Yeah.
I was scared. I didn't know what to do.
I've been touched.
I've been touched. He totally fucking gets out of it.
Go see Sexy Beast if you haven't. Not go see it. I guess rent it or I don't know how you procure old movies nowadays, but.
I'm sure it's on one of these streaming services.
Yes,
right?
Streaming services.
Streaming services.
If it's not on Netflix, we need to have a conversation with Ted Sarandos about that.
Ted Sarandos.
Give us Sexy Beast on Netflix.
That's right. And I was also hoping they were going to have, what is it, The Good Guys? What's that Ryan Gosling movie that I fucking love?
You're
I
You're obsessed with that movie.
I fucking loved it.
I still haven't seen that movie.
Ryan Gosling and
Russell Crowe
will always be my favorite because he threw that phone at the fucking guy who wouldn't help him with the phone. And I always thought how satisfying that would be when someone is not helping you with something and you throw the thing, literally the thing they're not helping you with, you throw it at them. Sure, there's regret afterwards, but in the moment.
But in the moment.
In the moment. When
in
you
the moment, it feels so good. It feels so good.
Oh, the release. That's an angry sauna. All right, I got to go. Happy New Year, everybody. Thank
Happy
you.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Once again, my apologies to the people in the OR last night. I fucked up. Had I known, that's all on me. That's not on the Comedy Store. So send all your complaints to me. All right, that's it. Go fuck yourselves. And I'll check in on you, hopefully, on Thursday. I think I'll still be traveling. I'll be ahead of the game. I'll be ahead of the game.
See you in 2019.
Oh, Jesus. All right, bye-bye.